Hi guys, Real Talk with Tracy. I hope all of you are doing fantastic. There's so much sadness going on in the world, and it's so hard sometimes when we look at the news not to get lost in all of this war and famine and sad things happening. It's hard sometimes to remember the good things, the simple things, and I think that's when we need to turn the TV off and go into some kind of a green space like a yard or near a park or near a lake and just look at nature. Just look at nature. Play with your dog. Play with your cat. Just take time for the simple things in life. I think the simple things in life are some of the most important things in life. And I really struggle, you guys. I really struggle a lot with grieving. I've been grieving for so many people. I've been grieving for so many people. I've been grieving for parts of my childhood that I missed because I had to leave when I was living at this beautiful lake. And I had to go into foster care. And I got ripped away from all of my friends. I'm grieving for a lot of things, even though I'm now in my 60s. I've had so many friends die and move away. And I think the more you grieve, it just shows you how much you loved. I think that's what it is. It's a wanting. To have something that you can't have anymore. It's a thirst that isn't really quenched by anything other than that person. And it's really hard because you can't substitute it. You can't replace it. People aren't replaceable. They're unique. And how wonderful it's been for me to be able to have shared time with so many incredible people in my life that I have this painful grief. I wouldn't have it if I hadn't had all the amazing moments with these people. And there's really so many. I look at this picture of my Uncle Steven, who I only met when I was 18. I didn't know him growing up. But I really loved him so much, and he was so gregarious and handsome and funny and witty and warm and just the life of the party. He would walk into the room and light up a room. He really made a lot of eye contact and really gave you a lot of attention when you talked to him. He was present in the moment, and he was funny, and he was just the light of the room. It's almost hard to describe him. He was a very unique person. He loved animals the way I did. And losing him, it's been 19 years now since he died from a brain tumor. It was really hard. He was the one of the few family members that I really felt close to. And losing him's been hard, and it's amazing when you get these updates that come across on Facebook or that come across somehow from social media, and then you realize, oh my God, this person's been gone 19 years. I don't know if it really feels like 19 years, but he's been gone for 19 years, and then I realize he was only a year older than I am now when he passed away. He was 62, and he had a wonderful retirement planned out. He had bought a bunch of different rental homes in Las Vegas and set up his retirement in a very smart and sophisticated way, and he had everything to live for, and out of the blue came a brain tumor that was not fixable, and within a year from his diagnosis, he passed away. I guess if you look at some of the good side of it, if there is any, he didn't have a lot of pain, which I'm thankful for. He didn't have a lot of headaches. He wasn't in misery that way. But he just slowly lost the ability to function and then finally fell into a coma and then passed. And I miss him. And I have his picture in my living room along with so many other people. Their pictures here or their pictures online, or I run across their picture. Their pictures are always in my heart. They're always in my mind. I think about my friend Joanne that I worked with for so many years at L'Oreal. And we got really close. We would talk on the phone probably every week. And then she got cancer and she passed away. It's been 2 years in April. She's been gone. And I just remember how amazing she was, that she just accepted her fate. She said, "There's nothing more they could do, Tracy. And I'm okay with it." And it was like, I'm thinking to myself, but that means you're going to die. And she just accepted it. She accepted it. I got to talk to her the very last day that she was on Earth. Her family was nice enough to hand her the phone, put it by her ear. And we got to tell each other that we loved each other. And a few hours later, she was gone. And it was such a gift. They didn't know me, and I lived in another state, and it was such a gift that these people gave me, allowing me that precious time while their mother's dying to talk to her, to talk to me on the phone, just to say goodbye. How wonderful they were to allow me to have those few precious moments with my friend. But I think about so many people and people that I've worked with. I was always the youngest one, it seemed like, everywhere I worked. When I went and started working for L'Oreal, I think I was maybe 24. So I was like one of the youngest people there. And I got to go on all these company trips due to my sales volume being good. And I would go on these trips with a lot of our people that work for the company that were from all over the United States. And I would see them in meetings periodically in New York. And I developed these relationships over 18 years with all of these people. And I have videos of some of these amazing trips that we went on to Europe, Italy, Amsterdam, different parts of the world. And I've played them before. And I remember the last time I played this video of me on this trip with all these people, it's like Jimmy's gone, David's gone, Marvin's gone, Marie's gone. All these people that I knew, that I broke bread with, that I spent time with, that I had deep conversations with, that I had moments with, that I traveled with, they are all gone. One of my favorite bosses, Ron, gone. So many of them just gone. And grieving is hard. It's really hard. I don't know if there's some kind of escape hatch I can get into to not feel the pain of some of these losses. I'm feeling so much pain from my friend, one of my best friends that has Alzheimer's. And I can't see her right now. Her adopted daughter doesn't want me to see her. She rather I not be in touch. I don't understand it. Well, I guess I understand it. I was a little bit pushy about getting her down here by me and by her daughter because she's far away from both of us. And she's in a memory center where she can't really be checked up on. by people that are outsiders, that are her friends and family, because she's so far away from her daughter and she's so far away from me. And when I would talk to my friend on the phone, she would beg me, come get me, come get me, please come get me. I don't want to be here. I don't want to stay here. I love you. I want to be with you. When are you coming? When are you going to come and get me? And I would call and I would just like pretty much beg her daughter to please consider relocating her closer to where she is and closer to where I am. And that wasn't an option for her daughter. And her daughter was angry with me for pushing that, for wanting her to be close by. I loved my friend like a sister, I guess. She seemed more like family than a friend. She had a really rough childhood like I did. And we bonded on many different levels. I wanted to be there sitting next to her to hold her hand and give her hugs. I got to go up a few times. I flew up to where she is. I got to see her. I got pictures. I got some videos. The last time I called, they told me she had COVID. I was really concerned. And I called back a few days later because I had sent her some more warm clothes. And I had said, you know, did she get the clothing? Is she better? And they said, we can't tell you anything because you're not her power of attorney. I said, I know, but you told me she has COVID. I'm so worried. Is she healing? And they went and mentioned to her daughter that I was inquiring about her health, which is a normal thing that you do when you love someone. I think the first thing you do when you call someone on the phone is you say, how are you? That's normal. So for whatever reason, her adopted daughter did not want me in the picture. I still will not understand why, because she's been willed everything. There's nothing in it for me financially. The only thing I wanted to do was bring some peace and love and, you know, be there for her mom because we love each other so much. You know, we had talked about one time or a couple times if something were to happen to our husbands and we would outlive them, that we would move in together, we'd be like the Golden Girls, you know, or we would retire and we would travel together and do stuff together. And because of her disease, she's not able to do that. And it's really sad. She was such a very important part of my life. We didn't see each other a lot, but we talked on the phone 2 or 3 times a week. And she was there for me when I went through some of the hardest times in my life. She was always so supportive. She was always so loving. She was always so caring. And she was just tuned in, and she really got me. And I really got her. I mean, we really knew each other. And that's really hard to find, this kind of person. And in good times and bad, always just enjoying the sound of her voice. You know, I was in my office today. I was looking through some papers. And I came across this little card with flowers painted on the front. And I opened the card up and it says, I'll love you forever, Kim. It was from her. I looked at the date. It was sent to me like 2015. I just run across little things like that around my house all the time. She was always really thoughtful that way, sending little cards. And I would send her things like supplements and things like that, especially when she just got her diagnosis with Alzheimer's. Anyway, yeah, you guys, grief is a bitch. But it is
it is symbolic of telling us how much love we had for that person. So in a way, isn't it better? Isn't it better to have pains of grief knowing that you had all those good moments with people than to not ever experience grief? That would mean that you don't know what love is. And isn't love one of the greatest joys in life? Those moments that we get to spend with people, those are such great moments. I think back, I'm looking at a picture, a beautiful seascape that my biological mother painted that I got after she died, which was in 2020. I didn't know that she passed away. I found out kind of on mistake. And I wound up getting a hold of her pastor. And he brought over these three beautiful paintings that she did and told me stories about her. I hadn't seen her for over 20 years. She was a good-hearted person, but very neurotic and had a lot of problems. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't be around her. Her problems were all-encompassing, and you know, if somebody tells you about their problems once or twice, I could usually take it, but just a barrage of phone calls and constant complaining, I felt like I was trying to breathe through a plastic bag. So she never raised me. I never lived with her. She was my aunt, Janice. And I always felt close to her when I would see her as a kid. There was something special about her. I didn't know what that was. But I found out later it's because she was my biological mom. And my aunt wound up being extremely abusive. So I went into a foster home and fled from my aunt's place. I'm sorry if you're hearing water being... Someone drinking water in the background. My dog is just you're going crazy drinking the water, aren't you? You're just drinking it all. I got a huge Labradoodle, which I imported from Texas. Can you believe that? I imported him. I found him online. And my other dog, we had to put down due to cancer and kidney disease. And again, I was very sad. I was going through a lot of grief. My heart was really torn up. And I wanted to find a dog that didn't shed. Let me tell you, this dog sheds a lot, but I don't even care now because he's wonderful. Aren't you, Max? I call him Maxie. He is gigantic. So he is just a wonderful dog. And I saw a picture of him. And he was abandoned at a park in Texas late at night. Somebody came in a car. Someone saw this, dropped him off, tied him to a bench, and left him. And he was matted and dirty, and they just abandoned him. And I know what that feels like. I've been in foster care. I know what it feels like to be abandoned. I looked into his eyes in this picture, and I said to my husband, "That's our dog." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "This is our new dog." He said, "Well, where is this dog?" He's in Texas. We're in California. So, what are the chances? You guys want to go potty? Go ahead, go potty. What are the chances I would have gotten this dog? I wound up going to a place, I didn't go there, I texted them, Camo Rescue in Houston. A very lovely woman there was very encouraging for me to put in an application, even though eight other people wanted him, eight other local people wanted him, but I think I wanted him the most. And I sent her a lot of my videos from YouTube, which I don't know if you guys know, but I have a YouTube channel.
I am close to being monetized. If you could subscribe, which is completely free, I would really appreciate it. I sent her videos. I sent in my application. I sent pictures of our house. I just really slammed her, the poor woman, with all these videos and podcasts and everything. And by the end of the day, she said, "You're approved." And I said, "Oh my God, are you kidding?" I had been looking for a dog and I was having such a hard time trying to find a doodle. And I wanted a doodle because I thought they didn't shed, but that's a lie. Okay, this guy, he's a big shedder. But you know what? He is just such an amazing dog. And he had an amazing foster mom. He was staying with this wonderful woman at her house. And we've kept in touch now, which is really a very nice thing. And I adopted him. And then I had him road tripped all the ways over here from Texas to California. And you're probably thinking, I wonder how much that costs. Yeah, that was like $700 or $800. But you know what? I had seen videos of him and I knew that he was it. I knew that this was our dog. I could tell the personality and everything by the videos. And he just has a beautiful soul. He has a beautiful way about him. He's like an old soul in a puppy body. And he has made my life so much better. He's helped me to get through my grief, my grieving about so many people, about my friends that are sick now, about my friends that have long got off my train ride. My husband likes to call our life the train ride. So people get on your train and they ride with you for a while. And then this train stops and they get off. Sometimes they get off, you don't even know why. Sometimes friends just kind of, the friendship just dissolves for some reason. And you're not even sure why, but they get off your train. And then new people come on. New people come on your train. And just like with animals, they pass away. And then new people, new animals, they come into your life if you allow it. And your heart again is filled up with joy. And your heart is filled up with happiness. And I feel a wonderful sense of joy and purpose having this new dog in my life. I feel just really happy about it. My other dog's happy about it. They can't play that much just because he's so big and she's small. But I just feel joyful about it. So as I look forward to the future, hoping that God will give me many, many more years, I pray to God for peace in my heart. I pray to God for peace on earth. I pray for all these wars and all this sadness that's going on around the world to stop and for people to start loving each other. The world is filled with so much sadness and hate because other people are different from them. It's very, very sad. Don't be that way. Always have an open heart. Don't prejudge people because they're a certain color, certain look, certain religion, certain height, certain weight. Don't do that. Be a good person. Be a kind person. People have put online, like, what do you do to feel better? And I guess what I do to feel better is I do for other people whenever I can. That doesn't mean I give everything away, but that means a little portion of what I have, I share. I do that as often as I can. That also includes time, time and money. It makes me feel good and it makes me feel that there's a reason for me existing. And if I can help other people and make people feel happy, even for those few moments, then it's worth it. So if you are grieving, I am so sorry. And I hope that you can get beyond the point of grief to where you can just really remember the love and moments and the funny times. The funny, incredible times that you've had with these people that have been such an integral part in your life, that you spent moments with that were so special and maybe not even abundant. Maybe they were only in your life a year or 2 years or 6 months, you know? But people that really make the mark, they make that heart. They add to your heart, and you can carry them with you wherever you go for the rest of your life. There was a man at L'Oreal. His name was Jimmy, and he was running the whole center in New York on Fifth Avenue. And I had had a very critical, kind of overbearing father that would say a lot of very negative things to me and was very critical of me and really didn't do too much for me in the way of, like, you know, just going out and getting like a present or something. Every now and then I'd get some flowers on Valentine's Day. I remember that over the years a few times. But he was really very tight with the money. Wasn't very giving, and was a very critical man, my father. Actually, both my biological father and my uncle that raised me. Very narcissistic. And when I met this man at L'Oreal, he just built me up. He would just be like, "You're so wonderful. You're so great. You're a star. You're amazing." And I was like overwhelmed by this. I'm like, are you talking to me? Are you talking to someone standing behind me? I mean, are you actually talking to me? And he made me feel so valued. He made me feel like I mattered. He was really such a genuine, loving, caring person. And I remember these trips that I had won, like 9 of them for top sales. I remember we're in Italy. I think, I don't know if we're in Sicily or Capri or where we are. Maybe we're in Capri. And I'm walking by and he and I are walking together. And I look at this tapestry bag and I'm like, wow, that is beautiful. And you know, at the time it was probably a couple $100, which for me at the time was a lot of money. And I didn't buy it. But I made a comment about it. And then later I had to go to the bathroom and he's like, okay, meet me back on the bus. I'm going to save you a seat. And I'm like, okay. We get back on the bus and he has this huge bag, shopping bag. He hands it to me and he said, this is for you. And I said, oh my God, what did you do? He had bought me this beautiful leather and tapestry bag. And I want to let you know, that was like 30 years ago. It's still in my closet. I still have it. I won't let it go. It was such a beautiful, thoughtful gift for someone to just value me so much, value my friendship, value me as a person, to do something like that for me. I always wished he would have been my father. I always thought, you know, he had a son, and I always thought, God, how lucky they are to have a father that's like this. Like, what this must be like to have someone who just loves you so much that they just go and spend money and buy you things. And, you know, I remember going to New York and him sending a car for me. And the car picking me up and him meeting me for dinners. And I started calling him Uncle Jimmy. And then even after I got downsized, we stayed in touch for so many years. I remember when it was Sybil Shepherd's. It was actually Jimmy's. It was his 80th birthday. She had a party for him at her house. And I remember him inviting me, and I remember dancing, you know, in Sybil Shepherd's house, in the middle of her house, dancing with Sybil Shepherd and a bunch of other people, and spending an evening over there. And he always wanted to include me, and he always made me feel special. His picture, I'm looking at it right now, is on the wall, the picture of us from when she gave him a, first, before it was at her house, they had some kind of get together at a restaurant, and there was a professional picture taken of he and I, and I have that picture on the wall. I could still hear his voice in my head. He was such a breath of fresh air and such a pillar of happiness for me. Every time I would run into him, he always made a special point to acknowledge me, to take me aside. And, you know, he was a bigwig at the company, so it would be like, Tracy, you know. He'd pull me out of a meeting or whatever, and he'd be like, okay, let's go eat. And everybody saw, and they could see that I was kind of like picked out, that I was special to him. And it was like having an uncle. It was like having a really amazing uncle. And I'll be forever grateful that this man was in my life, even though it wasn't all the time. I feel really bad that when he came out to visit the last time before he died, we had talked on the phone and I was really busy with my schedule. And I said, hey, why don't I meet you the next time you come out? Which I really regret, because then he passed. Then he passed away and I didn't get to see him again. But I'm lucky to have known him. And he was, I guess, my biggest cheerleader. He told me I could do anything. He told me you could run your own company. You could do anything. And I had never experienced having a parental figure in my life that was ever that encouraging. So it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be around that and to be in the presence of somebody who makes you feel important. So I am. He'll always be in my prayers, my thoughts, with all the other people that I have in my heart. I will carry them in my heart till the end of my life and hopefully beyond. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. I really appreciate sharing this time with you. Please check out my YouTube channel. Hi guys, Real Talk with Tracy. And subscribe. I'd appreciate it. The podcast now is in 80 countries. And I just really appreciate having a place to share my thoughts. And one day I won't be here anymore. Like all of us, we're going to transition on. And this will be left behind for all of you. So maybe all of you who listen can get to know me just a little teeny bit. And I can share some moments with you that hopefully help you through a hard time in your life. May God bless you and watch over you and keep you safe. Amen. Bye-bye.